3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
91 FM, The Truth. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about, it's a question form issue that we're speaking on. Are we celebrating ungodliness? Or we could put it in a different way. Are we celebrating evil in America? Ungodliness, unholiness, issues that I believe is pervading our nation today. And yet we are finding ourselves in a position, for the most part, of embracing it and celebrating it. We need to be reminded, ladies and gentlemen, that the Bible says, righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It's found in Proverbs 14:34, then in Proverbs 29:2, we read these words, when the righteous are in authority, that's when they are in control, keep that in mind, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, when the wicked are in control, bearing rule, authority, the people mourn. End quote. I believe our nation today is in a position, Christian nation, our nation is in a position today, as we see in the every avenue and every aspect of the Biden administration. We're in a state of constant mourning because of the immoral, ungodly, unholy issues that are being placed upon us in America today. I believe our nation's in that state of mourning. It's my opinion that Tony Perkins was absolutely correct when he says, the Biden administration has done more to harm faith, family, and freedom than all other presidents in America. End quote. So we'll be talking about that today. We're going to be looking at a number of articles in relationship to the validation and the exemplification of what I'm talking about. Are we celebrating ungodliness in our nation? How should we respond as Christians, patriots, conservatives? How should we respond to it? Let me just simply say this. As we continue to face issues day by day by day, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further, we find a declaratory statement in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. Psalms 117 and verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. But yet we find, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a society today where truth is denied, truth is dissed, truth is there's a mindset that truth ought not to have any relativism in our lives, that truth ought to be destroyed in some fashion. It was the secularist George Orwell that says, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. That's precisely exactly what we see happening in our nation today. And that idea is being led out of the Biden administration's Oval Office. Now, you can say he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what state he's in. He doesn't know what day it is. He doesn't know what he's saying unless he has the cue cards. By the way, did you know that when he's in a press conference of any kind that has any orchestration to it, he's given a cue card and it gives the picture and the name of the one that is in the press room or the Marxist media representative that he's to call on, and even gives the answer to the question that's already been pre-planned that media person is going to ask, so that he can look down at his cue card, match the face with what's on his card, and then just simply read the answer that he's already been given. That's what happens most of the time. But we're talking about today celebrating ungodliness, unholiness, and truth matters. You can't say that truth doesn't matter. Half-truth is a whole lie. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said, and I quote, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation." I go to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus said this, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. I believe it's time Christians, conservatives, and patriots stand up for the truth, acknowledge the lie, and stand for truth. Too many times I believe Christians and conservatives in the position, well, I don't want to be confronted. I don't want somebody to dislike me. I don't want somebody to challenge me. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time we get over it and realize that God's called us to be salt and light in the society in which we're living in. Salt and light. He didn't say, I would love for you to be. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And that is what we ought to be as Christians. And we ought to illumine the society in which we're in. We ought to realize that we have the responsibility of destroying, if not totally destroying, delaying decay that's in our nation today. I believe we need to understand it. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing the turnkey business of those who want to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole with U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it'll take just a few minutes in the balance of the monologue. Then we'll open our telephone lines. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're talking about today asking the question, are we celebrating and embracing evil, ungodliness, unholiness? I have in my hand an article from Jordan Seculo, ACLJ. He says this, "There's a surreptitious war being waged on our faith. I'm concerned many Christians just are not prepared for it." Further, he states, "Students and teachers alike are banned from praying. Residents are being threatened with eviction for holding Bible studies in their senior living center homes. And now even churches are being banned from some cities. Biden and the radical left are empowering anti-Christian forces to strip away our religious liberties." This is Jay Sekulow now, Jordan Sekulow saying, "We just filed a lawsuit against a school that is banning Christian teachers from even appearing to pray in school. We just sent a demand letter and may be filing a lawsuit soon against a city that's created a no church zone in their city. Now, ladies and gentlemen, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, even, let's say, 20 years ago, we've never heard of such an attack on Christians and churches as we're seeing and hearing today. I believe we're witnessing today the forced celebration and embracing of immoral, ungodly, unholy, unbiblical, evil, wicked events, things, lifestyles in our nation. I believe it's time as Christians we stand as salt, that we act as light, that we say cease and desist what's happening. Today, citizens, ladies and gentlemen, the ordinary Christian, the ordinary American, the ordinary conservative, as well as doctors and educators and military, are all now subjected to the ungodly, evil, immoral, wicked, unethical mandate of Joe Biden and his entire administration. I'm going to get into the details of what I'm talking about in just a moment. I invite you to call, ask your questions, join in the dialogue and discussion. Are we celebrating ungodliness, evil, wickedness in our nation today? Is it that which we have become? We have become so desensitized that we do not recognize that we are in some way crossing the line from just recognizing it as taking place to celebrating and embracing it. And that's the push today. The LGBTQ sodomite agenda is to force every Christian, every conservative, every patriot, not just to recognize, but to celebrate and embrace that lifestyle. And I could go on and on and on for hours and hours and hours on end today in relationship to the different categories and areas that we're finding this to be very true today. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Hello?
Hello, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, how are you doing today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Yes, I am. We're still above ground. Thank God.
Amen.
But I just wanted to ask you a question or two. When Nehemiah was building a wall, mm-hmm. and his enemies wanted to come in and negotiate with him. And when they were building the wall, they had a stone in one hand and a sword in the other. That's what we have to do today.
Brother, you're exactly right. You're talking about the fourth chapter of the book of Nehemiah, and he had surrendered to what he felt God would have him to do in rebuilding the wall, and they did 49,942 people in 52 days to rebuild the wall. But during that course of time, you're exactly right. The enemies on every hand. By the way, when you study the text, it was the jihadist Islamic Arabic people, even then, that were trying to destroy the Jewish people, trying to prevent the wall from being rebuilt. In the fourth chapter, there was a conspiracy. They decided among themselves that they were going to try to destroy Nehemiah and the work that he was doing. So they sent Nehemiah, secretly sent to Nehemiah's camp and his workers, notification that we're going to attack you, we're going to destroy you, we're going to take your life when you least expect it. And as you said, they worked with a sword in one hand and the mortar trowel and the stone in the other hand, building the wall. But the fourth chapter, the 20th verse, is the key, I believe, Kenneth. Nehemiah reminded the people, our God shall fight for us. And that's what we need to understand today. Our God will fight for us. But the key to it is we've got to recognize we're in a battle. We've got to recognize we're in a war. It's a spiritual war. God is going to win the battle, but it's going to be through us. We're his hands, we're his feet, we're his arms, his legs, and eyes to carry out the task of doing battle against the enemy. And we are in a battle. It is a spiritual battle. It's a demonic battle. It's a battle against good and evil. It's a battle between God and Satan. It's a battle between the Savior and Satan being fought out through the lives and the hearts of men and women, boys and girls on planet Earth today. But Kenneth, one of the things that I think is so sad is that most Christians and conservatives do not recognize that we're in a battle. It's just as the frog, you can put a frog, I've never tried it, but I've been told it works. You can put a frog in a pot of water and put it on the burner on your stove, and you turn it up a little at a time, he will never recognize he's being boiled to death until it's too late. We're being boiled to death as the old cliche would go, in America today, because most are not recognizing the heat is being turned up every day against the Christian, the conservative, the moralist, the ethicist in America today. There's a mindset that there is the targeting of Christians. In fact, Kenneth, indulge me for one more moment, then you can finish. Looking at the headline, Biden called out on evidence that he is targeting Christians. The federal government's attack on Christians gained prominence under Barack Obama when it instituted, insisted that faith-based organizations pay for abortions for employees as part of the health care insurance. No exemptions, he demanded, and those conscience protections for hospitals and doctors who objected to the wanton destruction of unborn babies had to go, he insisted. Now, Joe Biden, when he took office, took up where Obama left off, changing the rules so the emergency room physicians supposedly would be required to perform abortions on demand. And he added his favorite agenda, transgenderism. Suddenly Christians in schools were told to let boys and girls showers and locker rooms and restrooms. Then more rule changes happened so that more and more Christian groups and organizations were told they must participate in, they must fund and advance Biden's leftist agenda. Many of these orders are biblically offensive. Warning of more evidence of Biden's instigated war on Christians is growing in America today. And I could go on and on and on. So, Kenneth, the question is, how should Christians respond? What should we do? If we see we're in a battle for the soul of a nation, if we see we're in a battle for the morals and ethics and values, if we understand that there's a forced agenda of forcing Christians and conservatives to embrace and to celebrate ungodliness. It was the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse 10. Ezekiel asked the question, how should we then live? What do you say in relationship to that?
It's so true. And our administration right now and the United Nations, and we need to get up out of New York. But, okay, they're trying to force Israel to have another election to get Benjamin Netanyahu out of office. And, I mean, how can we force another nation to do an election when it's not time?
We can't, except for the fact we've got an imbecile in the Oval Office that's simply a puppet. And Barack Hussein Obama hates the Christians, hates America, hates the Constitution, and he's the one that said we're going to fundamentally change America. And our closest ally in the Middle East being Israel, now there's a push to destroy Israel so that the Islamic jihadists can take over. That's the design, behind the scenes, the design, the goal, the plan of Satan and his demons being carried out through people like Barack Hussein Obama, which is now serving his third term, through the puppet Joe Biden and all of his administrative heads, which are all in favor. This is the reason we're seeing in Minnesota, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, and across the nation in our prestigious universities, the hue and cry for the Islamic Palestinians, as they're called, they're the Islamic jihadists, to be able to win the battle and destroy Israel. In fact, there was some chanting in Michigan just yesterday. I'd forgotten the location. I believe it was Dearborn, Michigan, that said, destroy America, kill America, overthrow America. And the mindset is, if America's going to stand for Israel, then we need to destroy America. I am concerned. We'll do a broadcast in the next few days in relationship to the Islamic jihadists and their goal, global goal, of domination of the globe. That has not ceased since Muhammad in his wars against everyone, every nation, every person, every city that was non-Islamic. That's the goal of the Noble Quran, as it's called, their holy book. That's the goal under what is called jihad. And so what we're watching, Kenneth, we're watching God's plan to bring pressure and almost annihilation of Israel. And that's the thing that triggers, if you please, the Holy of Holies and the place of God, the abode of God, for Jesus Christ to return and slay them with the sword of his mouth, which is found in Revelation chapter 19, verses 17 through 21. with the Antichrist, the false prophet, all of those that are against God, against the church, and trying to destroy it, will be slain with the spoken word of the Lord Jesus Christ and cast into that place called hell. So we win in the end. Right now we're facing the battle. So Kenneth, I urge you and all of our listeners today to keep praying, keep looking up, and to recognize that we are in a satanic, demonic battle, and stand for truth.
Can I ask you a question? One more question, and I'm getting...
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
All right. Okay, I was looking at the news. Because really, I don't look at the circular news, but I was looking at it, and it was a young man who was 18 years old. He said that he was going to every church that he can and kill for jihad. And he wanted to be confirmed to ISIS so he could be memorialized. I don't know if you heard it or seen it, but that's sad. And we got young people doing this now.
What do you think of this?
You just want to go. Yeah, dude.
Okay.
Are you there? I can hear you. Can you hear me? Had some technical problems, ladies and gentlemen. Didn't know the problem, but I believe we lost Kenneth. But we're talking about today an issue that I believe should be listened to, adhered to, and recognized. Are we celebrating ungodliness, unrighteousness, unholiness, evil? Is that what we're celebrating today? I believe it is. In fact, as I was just speaking a moment ago to our caller, Biden has called out on the evidence that he's targeting Christians. Targeting Christians. Now, I don't know of anybody in the sane mind, the right mind, that could say that's not evidence in America today. This is a report that's written by Gary Bauer, the senior vice president of the public policy for the JFDI, an evangelical Christian. He says, are evangelical Christians a threat to America? We're encouraged to learn that according to the material coming out of the Biden administration, we are. He wrote in his report, a recent diversity, equity, and inclusion toolkit on religion, religious tolerance produced by the Biden administration recommended the users a resource guide. Among the resources listed in the website were articles that were not only called evangelicals, calling evangelicals a threat, but also said our influence must be rooted out of society in America. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the problem that we're faced with today. That's what I'm talking about today. Are we celebrating ungodliness, evil, wickedness in our nation? Are we awake to the fact and the realization and the recognition that somehow, some way, we're, as Christians and conservatives and as a Christian nation, that we're being destroyed? Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We need to recognize that this is taking place. I'm looking at another headline, America, a society in crisis. It's a five-page article, massive article, that goes back into some historic roots and talks about where we are, what is taking place with the fact that this administration is undermining and destroying all that we call morals, ethics, and values in our nation. We're looking at the things today that 30, 40, 50 years ago would have never been even subject matter for the federal government or for any government to enforce on the citizens. Just consider some of the practices that now pervade our society. That just a short few years ago were unthinkable, unimaginable, and would have been considered illegal. But now they are pushed and forced on society today. Today we're forced to celebrate and embrace ungodliness, pure evil. Now, I want us to talk about, for the next several minutes, some of these things that I think are pure evil that the citizens may not recognize is planned and orchestrated out of this administration to force on Americans and to force Americans to embrace it or to suffer the consequences. For example, our children, our grandchildren, are now forced to view and verbally express and embrace pornography in the classroom. I find it egregious that it is in the classroom, and parents have no choice. Parents cannot say no. Parents cannot opt out anymore in most of our schools across America today. It's being forced on our parents and our citizens. Here's an article, give you an example of some of the immoral, unholy, ungodly things that's taking place in relationship to our school system. Headline, drag queen exposes private parts during a high school show. A man wearing white lace panties allegedly exposed his private parts during a drag show performance and workshop at a Massachusetts high school. Let me read you one brief paragraph. The drag performance for students as young as the seventh grade at the Sutton High School enraged parents. What life skills are we teaching these skills, and how can drag queen shows be part of it? One parent asked the school board member. The performance was set to music, and afterwards they were nearly an hour-long presentation on another group that supports queer kids. According to the school leaders, the performance was part of a conference that is part promoted by Westchester Pride, a local LGBTQ organization. Instead of apologizing, the school district defended the sexually provocative, immoral, unholy drag show. A tolerant society, they said, respects differences, acknowledges similarities, understands the benefit of multiple perspectives, and creates community. These are all elements of a functional democracy, the school board district wrote in their statement back to the parents that objected to the immoral, ungodly garbage that was taking place in the classroom. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm still less than 100 years old, but I can recall the days that this would have never, ever, ever been considered, much less happening in a school, public school classroom. I can recall a day that if that had taken place summarily, the school board would have been dismissed. You wouldn't have to argue with them, debate with them, would have been dismissed for allowing it to take place. There were days in history gone by when the school teachers would never have allowed it in the classroom. They would never have surrendered their morals and ethics and values to a system that said this is what you've got to do. But yet we find that taking place today across America in our public school system. Today, the barbaric practice of cutting off healthy body parts of boys and girls. It's called health care. This practice is enforced through our schools, where the so-called school counselors, so-called school educators, coaching the children to submit, and many of these without any parental knowledge, parental consent, or any notification of the parents. And the thing that is taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, if you do not use the right pronoun, if you do not adhere to the push to embrace and to celebrate the immoral, unholy, ungodly acts and practices in America, you can be fired from your teaching position. You can be fired as a physician. You can be removed as an educator. You can be removed as a worker in an organizational structure. Here's a headline. Metal worker fired for simply opposing the company's gay pride symbols. Daniel Snyder was fired from his job as a metal worker because he objected to his employer's use of a rainbow to promote the Gay Pride Month. Snyder, who worked for the global aluminum manufacturing giant Arconic, is suing his former employer, claiming religious discrimination. Quote, because of his Christian beliefs, Mr. Snyder respects all people regardless of their sexuality, and he previously worked alongside a transgender individual where he worked without any issues, said Thomas Moore Society attorney Michael McHale. His sincerely held Christian beliefs also include reasonable understanding that the Bible teaches marriage is only between one man and one woman. He sincerely believes that the Bible shows that the rainbow is a sign of the covenant between God and man, and thus that is sacrilegious to use the rainbow to promote relationships and ideologies that violate God's law, according to the attorney. He's 62 years old. He's suspended and then fired, terminated, because he took a stand against the company's diversity policy and the push to embrace the sodomite lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about 1 minute, top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more,